We need to relocalize finance. As I said before, a bubble creates a situation of artificial scarcity, where there's still the people and the resources, but no money to connect them. So we can think about addressing a liquidity crunch with alternative currencies, with different forms of liquidity. Now, a money monopoly is a significant power, and it will be defended, but eventually that money monopoly will simply break down. So if we have thought in advance of how we might introduce additional forms of liquidity, those can serve us very well. Local currencies are fiat currencies. Fiat means trust. In other words, they only operate within the trust horizon by definition, so they define a local area. What you have is something that circulates only in this local area because it doesn't count as money anywhere else. And it's money circulating within a local area that defines what level of economic activity you can support. Now, if you build in a feature called demurrage, then they can become even more effective. This is where you have to stamp the local money every month. In other words, it devalues over time. So that's a disincentive to hoard it. It's a specific support for the velocity of money that keeps money in circulation within that local area. Slow money is an important initiative. You know, the goal of slow money is to get 1 million investors to commit 1% of their investment income to the real economy. That's a woefully unambitious goal, because essentially that means people would be leaving most of their investment funds in a Ponzi scheme that might just disappear on them. So I think what we need to do is to take the concept and vastly expand the scope of it to say that what we need is to invest in the real economy. We need to invest in things that are real, that are foundational, that won't simply disappear because they're not purely virtual wealth. Now, there's an enormous demand for things like local organic produce. But these small producers, the cost of capital is high for them because they're perceived to be risky. If people extracted money from financial assets and put them in the real economy, then there would be an enormous increase in the scope of what could be done. And we would be building businesses in the real economy that had local supply chains and local distribution networks. And this would allow communities to become much more self-sufficient. Bear in mind that those financial assets are going to get repriced at pennies on the dollar at some point. So this is not a capital preservation strategy. People invest in financial assets because of the yield, but when you chase yield, you chase risk. The risk is you will lose the income and the capital. If you invest in something that's real, that you genuinely understand, the risks are very much lower. And in the process of shifting investment into the real economy, you can serve your community tremendously well by ensuring the supply of local goods and services. We're trying to build a robust system here. Dependency is vulnerability. So if we can create local self-sufficiency, we're better able to face uncertainty with flexibility, to replace brittleness with resilience by restoring safety margins. We need to minimize the consequences of being wrong. So if we're completely betting on the current system continuing its expansion and the trend change hits, the losses are catastrophic and there's no way back. Now, contrast that with a situation where you assume the trend change is coming and you prepare accordingly. You hold liquidity, you get out of debt, you build community, you gain control over the essentials of your own existence. If it doesn't turn out to be as bad as you thought, you haven't really lost anything. You're just really well prepared to face whatever the future has to throw at you. So the risk is highly asymmetrical. Bear that in mind, because the future belongs to the adaptable. It's as simple as that.